It's on track to become the world's largest seller of telecommunications equipment. In Australia, it counts former Foreign Minister Alexander Downer and former Victorian Premier John Brumby as board members. Yet the federal government has confirmed that the Chinese technology company Huawei has been banned from tendering for contracts to supply the national broadband network, reportedly on advice from ASIO. It's understood Huawei has been prevented from supplying equipment to the NBN due to concerns over cyber attacks originating from China and because of the company's close links to the Chinese government. Jeremy Mitchell is spokesman for Huawei in Australia. Jeremy, welcome to breakfast.
Oh, good morning, Fran.
Jeremy, what's the company been told as to why it's been blocked from supplying equipment to the NBN?
Look, the company was informed by the government just before Christmas that there would be no role for us in the NBN. What the government made clear, though, was that it wasn't about Huawei particularly. It wasn't anything that we had done or were likely to do in our endeavours as a business. But we obviously are disappointed in the actual decision, but believe that we understand we're a Chinese company in origin, despite the fact we're privately owned and global. 70% of our work is actually outside of China. That we have something to offer to the NBN and we can get over this hurdle because there are 9 NBNs being built around the world at the moment and we're delivering 8 of them. So we come with a huge amount of experience, and especially out of the United Kingdom where we've been delivering the exact same technology we want to give to the Australian NBN for the last 6 years.
And well, so far the answer is no, reportedly on advice from ASIO, and it's been reported this morning that your chairman, retired Rear Admiral John Lord, was told by a senior federal public servant from the Attorney General's Department late last year that Huawei was banned from tendering for NBN contracts because of concerns over cyber attacks originating from China and also because of the company's close links with the Chinese government. Your chief executive is a former member of the People's Liberation Army. Do you believe those are the reasons?
Look, no, I think, you know, Ren Zhengfei is the founder of Huawei and the CEO. We put in his biography at the front page of our annual report. You know, he was, yes, a member of the PLA, as were many men of his generation. But he was sacked from the PLA in the early 80s. It was some 6 or 7 years later that he started Huawei. And I think if that's the tenuous link between us and the Chinese government or the PLA, it's very tenuous at that. And I think what we've got to understand is that information security is vital for all governments around the world. We know that because we're working with governments on a daily basis. And when we supply 45 of the top 50 companies, telco companies in the world, so we're dealing on a daily basis on this very important issue. And I think the important thing to realise is that governments don't have all the answers to this. Industry doesn't have all the answers to this. We've got to work together because it is vitally important that we get it right. And we've been doing that in the United Kingdom. We've been doing that in Singapore, Malaysia, New Zealand. And I think we can do it in Australia.
But the government isn't convinced. Now, if a board member of the company, Alexander Downer, said on AM this morning it was absurd to block Huawei in Australia on security grounds. But these concerns about cyber attacks emanating from China are real. Australian mining companies have long been concerned China's been stealing secrets from them in cyberspace. And now the Australian government and the US seem to share those concerns.
But I think it's important, Fran, that we don't paint China with one brush. And yes, we are Chinese in origin, but we are privately owned. We are a global company. And to sort of link us to any attacks, and let's say attacks coming from around the world, it's private citizens, it is vigilante groups, it's truck drivers from Cowra. You know, there is a whole group of individuals and threats out there, and we've got to work together to ensure the safety of the network. And we're happy to put in place anything that is required. We understand, because we're Chinese in origin, that the bar's probably set higher for us, and we're happy to put anything in place, whether it be limiting any work on an NBN contract to Australian citizens that have been security cleared, whether it is opening up our soft code to the government, whether it be independently audited. We are happy and willing to put anything in place that would allow a government or a customer to feel 100% confident in all the work.
But have you made any of those provisions, put those provisions in place in these other 8, as you say, 8 equivalent broadband networks around the world, including Britain, New Zealand and Singapore?
No, we haven't had to. We opened up last year, and as I said, in the United Kingdom, we've been delivering the exact same technology for the last 6 years. Last year, we opened up a cybersecurity evaluation centre in the United Kingdom, and that was working with the UK government. That centre there looks and audits and ensures that all products that are put in place now in the BT network that we're working with is 100% safe and secure. And we realise now, and all companies are going to face this challenge, that supply lines and supply chains are not now held within the one company, because we all get different components manufactured in different areas. And can I say, the most of the industry, if not all the industry, it's all actually manufactured in China.
Jeremy, you said before you can understand that because the company is based in China, that you can understand the government might want higher sort of benchmarks in place. Does that mean you accept that these concerns about, you know, China stealing secrets in cyberspace are real?
No, I accept that we have an image of China, and most of your listeners would say, probably be thinking, China, cheap, copy, and mass-produced. Now, the idea that we're a private company, the idea that we're a global leader in technology, the fact that we actually are a global company in the sense that 70% of our work comes out of China is new thinking for people, and it's very much about the new modern China that is emerging. And we understand that we have to build up trust, we have to build up knowledge about our company, and we're willing to put things in place that enables that to happen. And
so you still hold out some hope that the government and ASIO will overturn this decision?
Well, I think it makes sense in the fact that we're delivering 8 of the 9, that we bring a depth of experience that no other company can. And I think we can bring in not only the best technology for Australia, but we can actually do it at a competitive price.
If you don't persuade the government, and presumably that means you haven't persuaded ASIO, do you think this decision, if it stays in place, could harm Australia and China trade relations?
Well, look, we're a private company, so I'll leave the foreign affairs policy to the experts in that. But I think what it will mean, though, is that Australian businesses will miss out on the best technology, and Australian businesses in the long run will miss out on price advantages. That is why the UK have been very much supportive of our company in their market. They have gone out of their way to work with us, because they saw it as an opportunity for their businesses to get the best technology at a best price. It improves efficiency in the economy, productivity in the economy, and I think that will be, the end of the day, the loss for Australia if this continues. But Safran, I'm very hopeful that we can work through it, because it will be locking out in the future the engine house of innovation that is happening out of China. I mean, we spend $3 billion a year on innovation and R&D, and that's 10%, over 10% of the whole Australian R&D budget. Now, that just brings so much opportunity that to lock ourselves out of that would be to our detriment.
All right, Jeremy, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks.
Jeremy Mitchell is Corporate Affairs Director at Huawei in Australia. It's 7 minutes to 9 on Breakfast.